Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
I've been sharing with you in this season on the bookkeeping of heaven, the books of heaven. When you look at the overarching truth in God's Word, you find that God keeps an accounting of some things. Remarkably, when we started by sharing this, He does not keep account of our sin. Once we've repented, He blots it out. We can be excited that that's not kept in heaven because of Jesus. Jesus made that supernatural work possible. But then God keeps track of the things that matter to Him. He keeps track of the same things that He sent Jesus to do. Because we are now Jesus' church, that means we are His continuing ministry. So the Heavenly Father is looking for us to finish the work that Jesus started. Jesus finished His work on the cross, and when He rose again, He bore witness that it was finished and we were positionally fixed with God. In other words, He wanted us and the work was done for us to be restored, just like Adam and Eve were in the garden before sin entered in. So we can celebrate that. But when Jesus left, He told the disciples, "I am going to send you another helper named the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit being the personality, the person, the ongoing Spirit of the Lord Jesus, the raised Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit being our helper and our comforter, the one that we call alongside to help, so that we become more like Jesus and then we're able to do His work and finish His work. We would like both things to be instant and quick things, but the work of God takes our lifetime to achieve. So as we're talking now about the books that are in heaven, there's a book of this life where we're going to look at that briefly because there's just a little indication in the Scripture that God knew. He knew who you were before you would be born, how long you would live in the earth, and what His assignment on your life was from heaven. In God's book, He's not concerned whether we're a farmer or a plumber or a preacher or whatever we are. He knows that there are some choices we're going to make, and we shouldn't get too caught up in worrying about, oh, did I do the right thing to make a living? See, God has a plan that exceeds how we make a living that is our assignment. And what we should hope will happen and we should desire will happen is that we make choices in this life in how we make a living and where we live and how we spend our time so that we have capacity to fulfill our assignment. So when we talk about God blessing our life through the workplace or your profession or whatever it is you're doing right now, you might just be in a job that isn't your profession, you're just working right now. God uses those things to empower right choices in us to be available to do the assignment to carry out His will, or the assignment is to do something of the work of Jesus. For some folks, that is that they're going to succeed in what they're doing because God's favor is on your life. I want you to understand this. God's favor is for you, however you're making a living. He'll use jobs that some folks would stand back and say, how can God bless them in that job? It's what they're doing. He redeemed our life from destruction, and He redeemed our life into blessing. But the blessing is all for a purpose, and I teach prosperity here, but I teach it from a balanced scriptural perspective. God blesses us to do Jesus' work. He doesn't just bless us so we can have stuff and be comfortable. Many times people get stuff and are comfortable, and then they really don't do anything for the Lord. They think in giving money, they've maybe satisfied that, and maybe that's all that they're supposed to do. I know people like that, but they tend to give 30, 50, 70% of their income. There are people that are called to be givers financially into the body of Christ. Everybody else tends to tithe and sow some seed, and that's what everybody does, is give some portion back that belongs to the Lord. But then there are some that are called to come alongside the local church and help us with the things that we do all the time, the worship team, the food pantry, the special outreaches we're talking about, where we come together to fulfill a need, because somehow when it's talked about, something's triggered in our heart, and we believe we're to be a part of that. Someone very eloquently said to me recently, "Pastor, whenever you present something that you want to see done, our family always goes home and we pray at our table and say, 'Lord, what is our part in that? What is our place in that?' Because our place in different pieces of ministry may vary a little bit. There may be something that you hear that you think, 'I need to be all over that.' Then there might be a half a dozen things you think, 'I want to participate in that.' Then there might be something you just think, 'I'm not into that.' You have permission to not be into everything so long as you are really into something. Because God wants you in that book. He wants something in your book about what He remembers that you did for Him. So when we do these things, we're creating an opportunity for God to acknowledge you. When you grow in faith and favor in the Lord, you understand every time you obey the Lord, there is this knowing on the inside that you've pleased the Master. That helps our faith grow. That helps us understand when layoffs might be coming in some business that we're not going to be a part of that, or if perchance we are, God's got something better. We're automatically in a place of faith because we know we're living on a different plane than just the world. We're not living in a selfish prosperity. We're living in a prosperity that is motivated to do Jesus' work. When you study the Scripture, that's our only claim to true prosperity, is we're in it with Him, so He blesses us to do His work. I want you to understand that, because I think that there has to be that balance, or we get off track, and I've seen a lot of Christians in my lifetime end up off track with blessing, and then they step away from serving the Lord. When we do that, we are, I think, creating a potential animosity with God, because we're supposed to keep our side of the bargain. That's what a covenant is. It's an agreement and an arrangement that is ongoing. With God, it's a blood covenant. That means He will never break it, and we should never break it. So that's the book of remembrance. I want to jump ahead now to the books of this life. And we'll begin in Psalm 139 this morning, because there's a book that notes your earthly life. God knows in it when you would be born, what you would even look like. It says, this is verse 16, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance." In other words, when I was in my mother's womb, you knew how I was going to turn out. And even before that, God had a vision for you, a plan for you, and a purpose for you. "And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me." That means the assignment that you had for me. "When as yet there was not one of them." So your characteristics down to your traits and personality are in this book, along with what God has sent you here to do. Understand, your first origin was heaven. You were in God's heart. Mom and daddy got together, yes, and you got a body designed on their genetic codes, most likely somebody's genetic codes. And you got what you got. Some folks call that the genetic lottery. Why? Because we don't have a lot of say in that. Mom and dad don't have too much say in that. They're going to get what they get, and every mom and dad decides it's worth the risk. And they have kids. Most generally, that's how it works. But God does one better in that He knew. See, we want to think it's kind of a lottery, but it's not. God knew. God knew the characteristics, the personality, and the assignment. That means there's a book that says why you were sent to live now. Your assignment will include things like your family and training them up. Your assignment will include the people that you are to reach out to in the name of Jesus. Your assignment will include if you have some particular kind of ministry you're to do. many times we make the mistake, I think the greatest mistake we can make as Christian parents is just say to our children, you can be anything you want to be. That's the right, and it's a true statement. But they do one better to understand that aside from that, they can be whatever they want to be, but they need to know God has a doing for them that is their assignment. And the blessing of God in our life enduring that is rewarded forever is understanding there's something God put me here to do. And I coach people when they don't know what it is, you align with a local church and find something that gives your heart joy and you get involved in it and you stay in the middle of it. Because you will discover if you follow what's in your heart, you will end up on the right path to what God sent you here to do. Why? His Holy Spirit leads us from the inside. So if something gives you joy, put yourself in that. And see if you don't experience some fulfillment and a sense of accomplishment and a sense of purpose. When we look for purpose just in our own little everyday life, we're going to miss God's plan for the something extra. The something extra always involves others. The something extra will never be about you. It will always be outside of you. In fact, I would say this to families. Don't try to do it within the family. Try to bring the family together to do it outside the family. It's great for families to create attachments with families. You're going to have families in the church that you need to be connected to that somehow God will use you to enrich one another's lives. But you can't stop there. That'd be selfish because we're all in the same family, really. We have to look outside the camp. Say, who else would like to be adopted into the family of love? That's how we need to think about it. But I wanted to start out today by letting you know your natural earthly life matters to God. So much so that it's pre-recorded. But we want to talk about eternal things more because the most important book is the book of life, or what's called the Lamb's Book of Life in the Scripture. The book that our name is written in. And when I study the Scripture, Scripture indicates that God writes everybody's name in this book as they begin. It has the same ledger entry as the other book I just talked about. Every person born, God intends to see born again. He loves everybody equally. Sadly, the world thinks, well, we're all God's children. No, we become adopted as God's children, but it's His intent that everybody be adopted. So they're kind of right, but they're not exactly right. Why? Jesus is our door to the family. Jesus is our adoption agent. He says yes to anybody that will knock on the door and say, Jesus, I want you. And then He brings us into the family or into the kingdom of God. So this book is the one that the world argues about. The one that many people in the world today are saying, well, all of these gods, they're really the same God. Scripture teaches, and Jesus said, when the world starts telling you that, watch out, the end is coming, and they are wrong about that. There's one way. His name is Jesus. Now, I know that that may affect your life somehow. Lucinda and I have friends that are not yet Christians, that are even in other religions and even high up in some of the other religions. When I talk to them, I'm loving to them. But when they suggest they're going to heaven, I tell them they're mistaken. For Jesus is the only way. And I have to risk offending a friend now to maybe preserve their life for all eternity. I will not have them look up from hell and call my name. I want people in heaven that are calling my name. So I make sure that I think carefully as I'm listening to folks to not think that religion is the same as a relationship with Jesus. Because religion without a relationship with Jesus ends in the same place, and their name is blotted out of the Lamb's book. God has such faith that we'll accept Jesus that it's beyond His conscience to think anybody would reject Him. So when you study the New Testament, it says there is an unforgivable sin, only one, and it's when we blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Understand, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is when Jesus is presented as Savior and we die without accepting him as our Savior. Because his spirit was rejected, having been presented as the perfect sacrifice and the free gift. It'd be one thing if God said, you've got to earn your first million and give it to me before you'll be saved. That'd be a little different. But you know, God could have done that. He could have said, prove that you love or buy. He didn't. He said, I'm going to give you Jesus the free gift, but if you reject him, you'll go the same path that the devil will go and go to hell. The Bible says people will go to hell for rejecting Jesus. Now, I know in today's pulpits, that's not taught a lot, but I've made a vow to the Lord that I will teach what the scriptures say, come hell or high water or the executor's knife, because that's what the gospel is. So as the world changes, he doesn't change. And we have to reconcile ourselves to the fact that God's love stretches out toward us for a lifetime. When we reject it, we have rejected his love, and we have to go to the place where there is no love. He created that place for the devil. He didn't create it for man. He couldn't imagine in his heart anybody would really reject Jesus. So when we reject Jesus, it grieves his spirit so much to know we are lost eternally. Now, I want to share with you some scriptures. Pastor doesn't make things up. I don't like making things up, and I don't do that when I'm in front of you in any way. The book of life is a book of deliverance and redemption. God wants our name in it because at the end of time, that book will be opened, and if our name is in the book, we're eternally secure. But there will come a time that the book has to be opened. Until such time, it's closed, and any blotting out of that book is not known by any eyes, only in God's heart. And he's going to choose a moment, I believe, that is the most advantageous moment to people. He's not trying to catch people in a moment where they are not one with him. He wants to come at the best moment that the most people have chosen him. So I believe that in a world of darkness, God's moving right now to have a great, wonderful revival, and then snap in the middle of that, come the rapture. Why? He wants as many to escape the judgment as possible. So though the book of life has judgment to it, the overarching theme is God's promise of deliverance. Deliverance from hell, of course, and deliverance from an earth that's going to burn at some point and be recreated. I know some say things in the Bible and the rapture are too far-fetched to preach or teach today. I want you to know that the Bible is truth, and we present it as this is what it says. I spend on average 20 hours a week studying before I bring things to you, because I look and I look again and I look in a broader sense. I want to represent this as closely as I can, because you give me the privilege of being able to spend time to bring the word to you, and I know that you're working, you're busy. So what I want to do is try to give you the best thing I can from your investment in giving me that liberty and that joy. So this is from the heart of God today, to understand this is what it really says. And you have to choose to be a believer in what the Bible says. Understand, your salvation comes by believing on Jesus, and everything that you're going to receive from God comes because you believe God's word. That's faith in his word. So I hear people say things today like, I don't believe in the rapture, and I smile when they tell me that and say, then you won't go up. Well, it's a principle of God. They won't go up because the Bible says some will. The Bible doesn't say everybody will. But if we believe, well, I choose to believe that. Why, anything good in there? Honey, I'm going to believe that. But I look for it several places. Now, this is Daniel chapter 7, which is one of the great passages in the scripture of Bible prophecy for the end times. It says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, talking about a scene in heaven. And thousands ministered unto him. It talks about Michael the archangel standing to come deliver man, because Michael is the angel assigned for deliverance of mankind. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him in heaven worshiping him, and the judgment was set. Understand that there is a moment coming in heaven where heaven will stand to attention because this book is coming before the throne of God. And it's the book that says time is up for the earth. It's the book that says Jesus came and gave his life, but now time is up because God wants everybody to get to be in a heavenly state forever. God's tired of the suffering on earth. He didn't design it. He's not the one permitting it. He's the one that has to allow it to happen because man gave the devil the ability to run the lease on this earth. When the book comes before the throne of God, God's saying, thank God the lease of the earth given to sin and the devil is over. And God's desire to bless his people is so great that he knows there has to be a moment in time where it's over. So this is in one case a book of judgment. But more than a book of judgment, it's a book that is God's deliverance. It's God's final moment of saying the battle is over. The suffering is over. The disease is over. The neediness is over. The poverty, the hunger, all the problems that are going on in the earth that seem to be out of control. Understand the heart of God. He hates it. He calls his church to help make things better while we're here. But he knows that his church won't even be able to keep up with what the devil is doing in the earth because many people are more given to darkness than they are to light. And he says that's what's going to happen in the world. So there comes a point, he says, I'm going to cut the days short is what scripture says. I'm going to stop those days and I'm going to bring everybody home. Understand the heart of Heavenly Father is to pick the best moment where the most people get to come, and only he knows when that is. But we want to be sensitive to be a part of that on the right side, of winning people, of making a difference, of making life better for people around us, but more than all of the making things better, we need to tell them how to be a part of heaven. See, if we're not careful, we'll be caught up in doing good, but it won't be good enough. Jesus makes it good enough. So all of our doing good needs to always lead to presenting Jesus. I want you to understand when you're loving on your neighbor, always have in mind to get them to heaven, not to stop short of that anywhere. Why? God has put you on assignment, and sometimes we learn our assignment as we go, and we recognize God's given us a friendship or a relationship with somebody outside the family of God. I have many of those. My goal is always the same, not to be somebody that they like. That's fun when that starts out, to have a friend. I don't want to be their God connect where they think they're going to get to heaven because they know me. And that's common for preachers. That happens a lot. But I do want to be part of their pathway to find Jesus. And if I can be holding the fishing pole and reel them in, I like that even better. I don't know if you've ever been fishing, but it's kind of disappointing sometimes when you don't get a nibble. What do? You just keep throwing it out there and presenting why. Eventually, there's going to be a take. And that fish doesn't know that you're reeling them into heaven. Whatever, the fight goes out of them pretty quick, and they just give in to the Lord. Why? It's better. There isn't any hook hurting them. There's blessing God's doing. Well, that's just a little aside. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. This will be a scene in heaven. And I'm going to go from there to Daniel 12, first four verses. He says, what will be happening in the earth when this happens is there will be a time of trouble. He says, such as never since there was a nation, even unto that time. In other words, it'll be the appearance of hell on earth breaking out. And I hear people say that we're there now. Well, we're approaching there, but we're not there yet. Why, there's a picture that it looks like we're not quite there yet. But he says, and at that time, God's people shall be delivered. There's a judgment and a deliverance at the same time. What's that mean? There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be an escape, the scripture calls it, for those who are worthy. What does it mean to be worthy? We're caught up in the work of the Lord Jesus. We're not just saying he's our Savior, but we are being Jesus in the earth. We are a part of what he's doing. And like I said, if you don't know your assignment, get involved in somebody else's assignment, and the Holy Spirit will show you yours. You'll learn quickly. Amen. Everyone that shall be found written in the book, that's who's going to be delivered. So when this book is opened in heaven, It's one of the greatest moments in heaven. The first was when Jesus came with the keys of death, hell, and the grave and paid the price for our redemption. Then people are coming into heaven, and heaven is expanding as hell too is expanding. Scripture says they both expand. Sadly, it says at the end of days, hell will be expanding at a greater rate than heaven. So that tells me there are many that think they're okay that are not okay. And we can make a difference there. It says, at the time of the end, many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased in the earth. It'll be the information age. It'll be the age of all the devices and all the jet planes and all the stuff that we have. And I don't know, I think that that will continue to increase, but it sure changed a lot in my lifetime. Now, who escapes the wrath, or scripture that talks about escaping the wrath of this tribulation? I want you to understand what tribulation would be like. So I was considering this, I thought, what's the closest earthly picture that has happened to the church before? And I thought, think of the Old Testament church, the Jews. Understand that the Jews in Israel are always continually a picture, a type and shadow of the church. And many want to think, and many preach today, well, if you ever were born again, you'll just go up in the rapture. Scripture does not teach that. Okay. Now, I know others can teach what they want, but I'm going to teach my convictions based on thousands of hours of study. Okay, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that I look and look and look and look and look. Well, I want to tell you how the scripture says, and you make up your own mind. And I would tell you always, if you wonder what pastor's saying is true, just go look at your Bible. You know, that's why I give you all these references for you to go and look. And if you run out and want more, see me. I'll give you more. All right, there's a whole bunch of them I didn't put in here today, so we don't have time. Now, he says, everyone found written in the book will be delivered. But I think back to the period of Nazi Germany, where so many today are saying the Holocaust didn't happen. But there's yet survivors who will tell their story and show you. And there's a big movement in the earth to say that never happened, it was all made up. But the movies that I've seen, and I don't make a habit of watching a lot of these, but I remember when Corrie Ten Boom wrote her book and then they made it a movie. I read that and thought about that as a young person. What would that be like if persecution got so great that Christians had to go into hiding? Understand, after the rapture, there will still be people coming to know Jesus, but they will be in a whole different life situation. Imagine that the people who are doing the works of Jesus, because that's who's going in the rapture, all of the doers are going to be gone, and there's just going to be some hearers left. They heard and they didn't respond. Why? They grieved the Holy Spirit and didn't do what the scripture said. I want you to understand our serious position. And I marvel at the lack of commitment in many Christians today. It tells me that they are ignorant to the scripture. Because scripture teaches that we want to be in close fellowship with the Lord, drawing ever nearer to him when the rapture occurs, or we will be left behind. Now, that's not taught a lot today, but I want you to know why pastor gets animated about being in church and being in fellowship. Being in church is an outward expression of what's happening on the inward person spiritually. It's not what we do to please God first. It's a way that we honor the Lord by putting him first and putting our physical self before him the first of the week. But when it's difficult to get to church, it's because there's an inward problem. Say, oh, but my circumstances. We're to rule over our circumstances. We're to say, God, help me. And you might go through some struggles and have to overcome some things to make it happen. If you were here a couple Wednesdays ago, and last Wednesday, you heard me talk about what an overcomer looks like. It means you're fighting to live a life that is scriptural, that honors the Lord. And you're going to have some fights in it. I'm not ever going to fuss at the fighter. I'm going to fuss at the one that lays down, rolls over. I'm not going to kick them, but I'm going to pull on their ears as hard as I can to come up out of there. Why? We've got to choose to fight, or we don't overcome anything. I can't overcome for you any better than you can overcome for me. So what do? We celebrate when somebody else is overcoming and not fuss at them about overcoming, but celebrate that and give them an arm up out of that situation. And that's what church should largely be about, is we're here to help empower one another to be greater overcomers, and that means we're going to be in battles from time to time. I would say that my life is nothing more than a great connected series of battles with some victories intermixed. Not every battle's brought victory, but I keep working to overcome. Why? I see in the scripture that what qualifies me for the rapture is I was an overcomer. So I would encourage you to get all the help that you can to be an overcomer. And Sunday is designed by God to be a free meal ticket to the overcomer to come and get some fuel to overcome their next thing. I marvel when people are not in church and then they want counseling or a visit, that if they'd been here, they would have heard everything that they're asking for a special audience for. And I've gotten to where I'll just tell people, you listen to the recording, and then if you need to see me, why? We're not going to waste time looking backward. That sounds kind of mean, but you know, there's not time for that. There's a lot of hungry people out there. I'm out in public and get asked sometimes more questions out in public than church folks ask. Why? They know less out in the public. Yes. So it's all right. Now, I'm trying to share with you what our life is to look like to be in this book of life. It's a book of life. Now, it's not enough to be in that first book. God knew when we would come and have an assignment. He's not even bent on our assignment. He's hoping that we finish it so we get rewarded for it. But this book of life is not depending on our assignment. It's depending on Jesus being Savior and Lord. And when I look at this book, it's largely about Jesus' Lordship. But I think about these movies and the scenes where they're fleeing from persecution, trying to find a hiding place. And we see the movies of the ones that got to the hiding place and made it through, and the many that never did. Understand that when the true church goes up, Scripture says there will be no hiding place left in the earth, that people will run for the caves to hide in them, but technology will know they're in the cave. Well, we already have that. There's no place you can get away from the ability for satellite technology to find you and even to zero in on you and know it's you. So all of the things Scripture says would be in place are in place. Everything that Scripture says should happen in Israel has happened in Israel. The Holocaust is a marker from the Old Testament church to tell us what hell and life will look like for those that don't go in the rapture. Many will come to know the Lord Jesus because they'll recognize they missed their first opportunity. But it will be hard to be a Christian in those days. We don't know about persecution. We're not hiding and wondering where the next loaf of bread will come from to feed the family for a week like they did then, or hoping for a crust. And Scripture says that history will repeat itself. Understand the Old Testament, Israel, the Jews, are a picture always of things to come in the body of Christ or in the true church. But Jesus said this, if you will believe on me, you will escape that. Believing on him is not just a confession, it's becoming a doer. So I want to encourage you, this is a hard word to hear because we all have people that we would be concerned about. We're supposed to be concerned. We're supposed to be motivated by Jesus' love, and Jesus' love is yearning for everybody to come be with him. He would rather us escape the wrath to come than be a part of it. Why? The wrath is for the devil, the enemy of the church. The wrath is against those that chose not to know Jesus. And we sometimes want to erase that there is a judgment side to eternal things. That's why Jesus came. Those who overcome will be kept in the book. I call it the passport book. I want to move this toward a happier theme because it's serious. And for us to experience the goodness of God, we want to understand there's right choices that we make. We can really help people. when people begin to fall away from fellowship, I shared this on Wednesday night, we're to help in the body of Christ. It doesn't say the preacher goes after everybody. It says that the people take care of one another and stay connected. Life is difficult. Natural life in the earth is designed by the enemy, or it's got the work of the enemy in it, to pull you away from God, to break up peace in the family, to break things up at work, to make things difficult for you. That's what this world has without God. With God, there is a uniting with God's eternal plan, and we're to be a part of that. So when you see somebody having a tough time and they say, well, my work, well, honey, let's pray for you to have a different job. People come to the altar and they're having trouble at work, I listen. But if it's keeping them out of fellowship or causing them to have a hard time living for Jesus, honey, we're praying for a better job than that. Why? God didn't appoint us to wrath or destruction. So he got something better. Say, Pastor, you believe that? Yes, I believe that. Why? Jesus always wants us to experience the good. So sometimes it's a little bit hard to envision that and say, but I've been there 10 years. Well, I've been there and done that a few times. Why? God's people tend to have a faithfulness quality, an endurance quality, a work harder than others quality, an honor the boss quality, and we just don't want to give up quality. But there's time when we're being separated from fellowship, we have to draw a line and say, I'm not crossing that line. I've got to make a change. And if I have to eat beans and cornbread a month or two, it'll be all right. Thank you for that. That's almost as good as an amen. Why, if you say amen, you're saying so be it. And I wouldn't go that far. But have an understanding. Sometimes, don't you know this in your own life? So in areas of our life, we have to draw a line in the sand and say, you know, I'm just not going there. And when your toes are getting close, you have to not move that line, because lines in this world are easy to erase and move, and it's happening in our society faster than any other time. The values of people are changing radically by what some far left group of people that are not listening to Jesus are saying. I would stick close to what the scripture says. All right. And I'm not choosing politics. I'm choosing my truth. Yes. And my truth is the Bible. Now, this is Revelation chapter 5. We're told that if you study the book of Revelation, a special blessing will come into your life. But if you change any word in it, you'll be stricken from the book of life. I want you to know that. So as I abbreviate or don't share all the verses, you read them for yourself. I don't have the ability to strike anybody from the book. That's up to you. But I would read that if I was you. First few times I read Revelation, I thought, this makes no sense to me. I don't understand it. Then I started to look at it and say, I still don't understand it. And I would say this, I still don't understand it. But I understand it more than I used to. And I'm teaching you from the pieces that I've found understanding in, from studying long enough. Now, he says of this book that we're not going to know, we're not going to have an understanding of this book on our own. It's only going to be as the Holy Spirit unlocks it as time goes on. So Pastor isn't a dummy, and I'm not lazy in my study habits. The Holy Spirit will unlock it as he chooses. And I want you to see that so you know that's true of you. There's nothing wrong with you when you study the scripture and don't get it. The Holy Spirit will unlock it to you because he is your helper. And you have to trust him and not feel bad about what you can't figure out. I still don't have it all figured out, and I've decided I'm not going to get aggravated about that. Now, this is something that we can understand. Chapter 3, verse 5, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is Jesus speaking. So he's telling us everybody starts out in the book of life. So you might think somebody's hopeless. God says not. He says he has hope. Why? His plan and expectation is for them to be saved, but he also has in somebody's life plan that they're going to be the one in the other book. So you might have people attached to you in your assignment. And them staying in God's book of life, the Lamb's book of life, depends on you bringing them to Jesus, where God says the books match. Did you know God's such an accountant, he wants the books to match. And they will match. That's why some names have to come out. Because the books are going to match. When they're open, they're going to match. Understand this. There's not a single ledger system where you're at risk of being forgotten. God has layers of bookkeeping to remember you by. I'm glad of that. Okay? Now, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my father and before his angels. Now, we talked about overcomers, but I want you to understand, an overcomer is a person in process. This does not mean if Jesus' return was today that you have overcome in everything. You are still alive, and I can promise you there's a challenge you've not met yet. Because you're still here. Well, we're human beings, and God's using his heavenly standard to look at us. So what does he say? Be in the process of overcoming, and you are an overcomer. That means there's something along the way that you have gotten a victory over. But there's some things that you're in the middle of. There might also be some things that you've not yet even chosen to try. But I'd be active in some things. What does it mean to be an overcomer? You're not giving up the fight. You're not willing to be done. You're not willing to step back. You're not willing to say, I tried the God thing, or I'm on a break, or I need space, or no, I would be afraid of all of those things. And I would rather say, I'm in a battle, and I'm struggling, but I'm called an overcomer. And I'm going to win in the end because I'm called an overcomer. And if there's no other way to win except when I get to heaven, well then, I'll wear the badge of overcomer. But while I'm here, I'm in process. Whenever we lose that tenderness, we are in trouble. Why? God's coming for a people whose hearts are after him. Doesn't say we're going to be perfect or do everything perfect. He knows better than that, and he didn't set that as a standard. But he did say there's going to be an active relationship where we acknowledge we need Jesus as Savior and we are giving him our life and making him our Lord bit by bit and piece by piece. And we're willing to go through some tough things to accomplish it. Now, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, this is Jesus speaking, they're just speaking about Jesus. Jesus, you are worthy to take the book. This is actually to be Michael, the archangel, speaking, because Michael holds the book, is holding the book, and brings it before Jesus. Why? Michael's guarding, he's the guardian angel of mankind, if you want to think of it that way. He's protecting the work of Jesus in our life. He is commanding the legions of heaven to take care of us and watch out for us when we call on heaven for help. Now that's what the scriptures say. You are worthy to take the book. The angel can't open it. He's taking it to Jesus. And you are willing to open the seals, for you are slain and you've redeemed us to God by your blood. Jesus is the only one that can do that. Jesus has the ability because he shed his blood to open the book in the end and say, it's finished. Remember what Jesus said on the cross when he dropped his head. He said, it is finished. In reality, he gave us the finished work. But there is a moment in heaven when the books are open and it's over rather than it's finished. All right? Now, understand that this redemption means he's brought us out of a place of a death stasis. I was talking about this Wednesday night. It means you get numb. So when people say, well, I'm just not in fellowship like I should be, I'd be scared of that. Because scripture says that we have gone asleep spiritually. If we're asleep, Jesus said, if we're asleep and not awake at his return, he's talking about spiritual things, we will not go. And that's scriptural in many places, particularly the parables. So I want to finish this up this morning for you to understand the fullness of this. The devil will rule those not in the book. This is Revelation 17:8 that happens after the rapture. After the church is raptured, there's still people in the earth choosing to be saved. But they're going to have to wait for the 7-year tribulation period of hell on earth where there's no place to hide and many of them will lose their lives to profess Jesus. Now, the beast, the devil, will ascend out of the bottomless pit. He will have been in there 1,000 years. There will be 1,000-year reign where after the rapture we go to heaven and we have training if we went up and we come back to rule and reign in the earth and restore it to God's plan for the earth. People aren't teaching that much today. It sounds far-fetched, but it's your Bible. It's what it says in many places, confirmed again and again and again. It's called the 1,000 years. It's the millennial reign. But after the millennial reign, the devil comes out of the pit for a short season. Why? He's not locked in forever yet. Why? There's going to be yet another kind of judgment come on the earth. And it'll be the very final time. He'll go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth will wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. In other words, there's going to be a whole lot of people. Well, what is that about? Calls him the dragon, says that he'll come out from under the ocean. Don't have time to go into that too much. And if I get too sensational, you walk away and say, Pastor lost his mind. This is your Bible. This is your Bible. Read it. I'm telling you, read it. It's more fantastical than I'm making it sound. Okay, I'm backing off a little bit, saying here's what it means. But you go read it. You go, wow, this is going to be a pretty scary time. Why, the devil, who looks like a giant dragon, is going to come out from hell and come up out of the ocean along with all other kinds of things that come into the earth. I wouldn't want to be here for that. Then they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. He's saying those that were not found in the book will have hell on earth. Why, it will be hell coming out. Hell coming out thinking they're going to take over, and then there's a final battle where they're put away forever. Did you know the true church will have its glorified body, and the devil and hell and demons and all artillery and all the forces of warfare in the earth can't kill us in our glorified body?
That's right.
Yeah, it's worth having ahead of time, isn't it? But imagine being one of those people in just a regular earth suit. It's not going to be a good thing. Now, I want to finalize with this. We're going to open the altar today, because today is a day that I plan carefully for. We're a teaching church, so I don't every day get up and bring a salvation message, but we open the altar. But today, if there's something between you and the Lord, I'd get it right. That's why we're bringing this. Why I look at the scripture, and I'm a student of history. I'm watching world events and world news. But more than all of that, I pray and talk to God a lot. He said, people need to be ready. He said, if you can, teach them to live in a state of readiness. Teach them to live in my presence. So today, if something was wrong, I would say God's ringing the dinner bell saying, get it right. Recognize repentance as a gift. Recognize if you don't know Jesus and you come to church, you want to know him as your Savior and your Lord. And he made it easy. He said, we believe and we confess. And he comes in. That's pretty important. I don't want anybody in church here to miss that opportunity. Now, this is Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And it says, those not found in the book in the end, at this very end, will go to hell. Not a popular message today, because a lot of ministries leave out the devil and hell. This would be the time I would want to know the difference. This would be the time that I'd want clear information. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Pretty clear. So he's telling us that we want to be in this book, and this is how we first repent of any sin, and we come to Jesus, and we confess him as Savior. Then we choose to live an overcoming lifestyle while we're here. And we don't give up on what the scripture says. We don't give up on faith. We don't give up on one another. We don't give up on people in the body of Christ. Then he says further that we'll be at church, we'll become his church, we'll gather together and be his church, be the fullness of who he is, the expression of Jesus in the earth, and we'll go out and beat the bushes to win people to Jesus. That's a true church. You're not in the true church because you come to church, though that's a beginning. You're in the true church when you come into the body of Christ. Jesus says that we are in him and he is in us, and we become one. Church should be the place that you come to honor the Lord and learn his word. Well, I would challenge you to think about how much you invest in learning what the scriptures say, and if you know as much as you need to know. Today should have been like, I never heard that before. I've never thought about it that way. It should open your eyes to want to learn more. Being hungry and thirsty is the first quality of an overcomer. When you're not going to overcome. Why we come together is it's fuel for the overcomer. It's fuel to overcome the works of the enemy, the works of our own flesh, the doubt and unbelief. I had somebody say recently, but I know there's people in your church that they don't really live for Jesus. They're more like a hypocrite. I said, well, that's why church is there. Nobody said amen or anything. Got quiet. You want to think, well, I'm not a hypocrite, Pastor. Church should be full of imperfect people. And if we don't acknowledge that it is, we are lying to ourselves to think that we're overcoming. Overcomers aren't perfect, they're overcoming. When we think we've gotten there, we're in bigger trouble than the ones that haven't started the journey yet. Well, I've seen some baby Christians grow a lot faster in the last few years than a lot of people who've been in the Word for years and years. Why? They recognize that God overcomes some things. So what do? We cheer on the overcomers. And we recognize when we've been there and done that and we're appreciative that we've come out, but we're also looking at our own heart saying, I got a ways to go. I've got some things to do. Understand that as you become a part of His church, you start being motivated like Jesus is. To make Jesus your Lord, it means you're working to discover your assignment in that first book. And you're giving your life back to Him to do something that matters for the kingdom. Well, today I think I've brought you an understanding of what the books of life are. One, God's got you. He knows who you are and all about you. As far as He's concerned, you're not full of defects. You're according to His plan. He loves you. He wants you. He's called you by your name. But the second book's the most important. I want you to stand to your feet today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to come to the altar. We're going to pray with you. I've asked that a number of our elders come. If you'd come and get in place today, please. Those of you that are going to minister in the altar, come. You're going to be ministering salvation and restoration. Worship team's going to come and lead us in a little chorus in a minute. Today, if you recognize I've just not been living for Jesus as I should, as I know I should, and you want to come and make that right with the Lord, have somebody agree with you and pray with you. There's something wonderful in hearing another person stand in faith with you to come back to the Lord in the fullness. If today, for the first time, you had to think about, I might have an assignment, your assignment's not grievous. It's designed for you. It's going to be the thing that makes you know, wow, I am in a connection with God and this is a good thing. You're going to feel fulfilled. You're going to feel joy. In the middle of all of your other overcoming, you're going to feel like, wow, look what God did for me and I'm still a mess. Look what God did through me and I'm incomplete. Look what God did through me and I'm just getting started. Look what God did through me. I didn't know what He would do in me by what He was doing through me. Be very empowering. Today, if you're trying to live without the power and person of the Holy Spirit, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Why? He's your helper. He's your counselor. He's your teacher. He's your comforter. He's the one that you can talk to that's a closer relationship than siblings that you love. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will always be with you. He is with you through thick and thin. And He is the key partner in your overcoming anything that you're having trouble with. Heavenly Father, today in Jesus' name, we yield ourselves to You. Let today be a day of restoration and reconciliation. Let today, Jesus, be a day that everybody, when we walk out of here, we're all in the family and we're overcomers. We're working on the stuff we need to work on, but You're going to supernaturally help us. You don't judge us for where we need to go and where we need to grow. You only look to our heart to see if we're tender toward You and responding to Your word. Father, help every person here to embrace truth, to be motivated to win people more than we ever have before. Lord Jesus, not just to do good or say good things, but to stick with a person until we see him choose Jesus and then help him become an overcomer. To be encouragers, Father, there's never too much encouragement in Your house. Let encouragement rise up to those that are too much on their own to increase personal connection and personal touch and personal words, that we not speak through devices, the barrier that the enemy's put in place, but rather we go beyond the devices and say, that's just a gateway. But I'm going to be person to person with this person. Lord Jesus, You designed us to win people into the kingdom the same way You did. through one-on-one relationships, seeing each other in the eye, speaking to each other's heart, and choosing to obey you together. Lord Jesus, empower us as your church to be power-filled today to do your work in your ministry. Lord, let there not be any condemnation in the house, but a stir toward righteousness and holiness to live for you and win people to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.